Blog Talk Radio.
Conservative Talk Radio. My name is Tracy.
And I'm just plain Bill.
And I'm going to get right into a little bit of war going on. Did you get a chance to see that Megyn Kelly knockdown today?
I did not see that. I have been kind of following that on Twitter. And apparently she just kind of like, yeah, okay. How do you politely say kicked her ass?
Kicked her ass.
Oh, okay, there you go.
You know, if you want to be impolite, she whopped her butt! No. Now, I figured it out over the last 2 weeks how much TV I have watched.
Yeah?
And not counting a YouTube video or something like that of a TV show, I have watched none.
Oh, I see. Okay, very good. All right.
None. I haven't watched any TV in 2 weeks. Nothing. You know, if I don't get the news between Twitter and my blogs.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it wasn't worth print.
I haven't, to be perfectly honest, the grand total, the amount of time I've listened to Rush over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Probably something less than 10 minutes.
Wow. Okay.
I'm just a little bit busy. Just a little busy.
A little bit. Yeah.
A little busy. So I haven't been paying a whole lot of attention to things. I mean, I've been paying attention to things, but it's, you know, certainly not sitting and watching TV for a while.
Yep.
I did see that little cut on a YouTube cut. Not that I've seen a whole lot. I haven't even caught up with all my TV shows on Hulu that I'm supposed to be watching.
Yeah, I see. Okay.
So, I'm just not in there. I did get a chance to see a movie during the week. We rented a movie. Well, that's not true. CJ went away on Saturday night to visit a friend till Monday. And after the garage sale, we were pretty wired. And Victoria said, I'm not interested in watching anything. If you want to watch something, watch something. And I thought, well, my brain was actually too fried to do work. So I found a movie to watch on demand.
Ooh.
It was okay. It was called Legion.
Yeah.
Okay. Something to wear the brain down a little bit.
Yeah.
All right. I'm just not there. We are rapidly approaching departure time.
Yes, you are.
At this time next week, I expect to be somewhere in the vicinity of Kansas City.
Ah, very good.
Relaxing at dinner after a long day of driving.
Yes.
where I plan to be. So this is your forewarning, sir.
Yeah.
You're on your own next week.
Yeah, okay. We'll see how that goes.
I was thinking maybe we should have a little contest.
What's that?
A guest co-host spot.
Oh, my gosh.
How would you like that idea?
That doesn't sound bad.
Okay. Do we have a guest?
You know, that would give us alternatively a break and that kind of stuff, and yeah, I'm sure we could think about that. You betcha. Yeah, yeah. So you're going to be in Kansas City. How long are you thinking this is going to take you, total?
Well, the plan is Thursday the office itself gets cleaned out, cleared up and cleaned out.
Mm-hmm.
Friday we have the garage sale again at the house, and anything that's not bolted down is for sale.
Cool.
The sale will go on Saturday till like 2 o'clock in the afternoon,
mm-hmm.
and then the Goodwill and the St. Vincent de Paul trucks show up.
Cool.
And whatever's still here gets loaded into the truck.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Sunday, we will spend doing the last bit of packing and resting and cleaning up for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully, if everything works out right, sometime between 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock Monday morning, we will pull out of here.
Sounds good.
Well, actually, that means that we won't be in Kansas City at Tuesday, because that'll be Tuesday. Monday night, we're hoping that we'll be in Kansas City. Tuesday night, we should be somewhere in the vicinity of South Colorado.
Oh, there's a nice place.
So, you know, Pueblo, somewhere in that general vicinity, maybe a little bit farther
mm-hmm.
south.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then Wednesday, I'm kind of hoping we'll get to Flagstaff.
Yeah. Yep.
And then Thursday, right, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we should get into San Diego. And then Friday, relax. Pick up the newspaper, do a little riding around, and sometime over the weekend, find a place to live.
Yeah. Now, there's a thought.
And then, with any luck, because it'll be so late in the month and somebody will be desperate to rent a place for August 1st, we'll get a deal.
Mm-hmm.
And
we
can move in starting Monday.
That would be like a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then it'll take us a couple days to get all the utilities and phones and
all that kind of stuff.
Cables
and
internet
and all
that hooked up. And we can start getting CJ. That's kind of the plan, which means you'll have this little show for 2 weeks. By the way, folks, just so you know, this is Bill's first warning. He was going to get this for 2 weeks. If you didn't think it was coming anyways, I'm looking around the house going, wow, we've gotten a lot done. And I have no idea how we're going to get all the rest of it done. Oh, man.
Yeah, well, that's okay. You're chipping away at it. That's a good thing. So I don't know that I'd worry a whole lot about that.
My to-do list is 18 items long.
Oh, my gosh.
For this week. And I managed to get 5 done today.
Good.
I got 3 done yesterday, but it was the 3 that I had to get done yesterday. I got done yesterday. And I got 5 done today, basically 5 that I had to get done today. I didn't get anything extra done, but I got the 5 that I need to get done.
Well, so you're good.
Yep. The law office, it looks like we've settled all of our clients. We still have a few more to finish up in the next 2 days, but once that's done, we have attorneys to cover is what is good. So
there you go.
Cover everything.
Yep.
To take over the cases. So that's the good part. And we've already talked to the court. The last big thing that's on my worry list are the animals.
Yeah.
They're not coming with.
Yeah, I know.
And for those of you that don't know, that loud barking noise at the beginning of the show was Ali. He is our 2-year-old Beesla. We don't have a home for him yet.
Ouch.
Chow, our 3-year-old dachshund, has a home. He will be going to his new home on Saturday.
Okay.
We may have a home for our cat, Freckles. She just looked at me.
Yeah.
Follow me? She sits up on the back of the chair. So she will have a chance to go. Ooh, I wonder if I could... No, there's no feature for that. I was wondering, is there a feature for that? I don't think so. No. There's no feature to put video up.
Oops.
Huh. That's kind of weird. Okay. Well, that's a thought. Anyways, something for us to consider in the future. But we might have a home for Gracie and Freckles. Gracie's the other dog. Somebody wants to take both of them, which would be good, but somebody else is interested in them. Two other people are interested in them separately, which would be good. And the only problem I have with Ali, the Beesla, is that I don't think Victoria wants to let him go. Because someone really wanted him over the weekend, and she wouldn't let it happen.
Oops.
That was a little weird.
Yeah, that's...
I think it would have been fine, but he was a little weird. So, Victoria was turned off about that. Anyways, CJ spent most of the weekend gone. She spent most of today gone. She's going to be spending Sunday gone. And I'm going, I could really use a hand, you know?
Yeah, really.
You know, it would really be nice. In any case, she's been doing our shredding for us, and I've got 5 big piles of paper for her to shred. All right, you know what? That's enough. 15 minutes? No, 10 minutes.
There you go.
Enough. 10 minutes is enough. Let's talk about some of the stuff we, the Megyn Kelly SmackDown had to do with, the. Black Panther case that was dismissed by the DOJ.
Yes.
She played a cut during that piece about how a sitting congressman running for office, I don't remember where he was from, was having a town hall, and he got called out on it, and he didn't know what it was, which actually nobody believed. Nobody believed it at all.
Yeah, I mean, who's going to believe that? Give me a break.
So that was rather interesting.
Well,
you know,
what I thought that proved was the guy isn't smart enough to be a congressman.
Well, it's certainly not informed. Not, you know, there is a thing called cultural literacy, and it doesn't just mean you know what happened over the last 50 years. It also kind of happens what happened in the last 50 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, our culture has gotten to the point where if you're not paying attention to what happened today, you're already behind.
Yes, exactly. Start playing catch-up.
Oh, now this is interesting.
Yes?
In case you hadn't heard, that noise in the background was Freckles and Ali playing.
Oh, boy.
Now Freckles is in a bag full of shredded paper.
Well, that's going to have to be.
Apparently has settled down. A hide in there. Weirdness. Cats and animals. You know, cats and dogs sleeping together.
Yep.
We've had them in that house for the last 20 years.
Must be the millennium or something.
My cats and dogs have always been together.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about somebody else just brought it up because it was kind of interesting. We've often said that Democrats steal races.
Yes.
Apparently Al Franken stole his.
Yeah, I heard that.
You
apparently
heard that?
A whole bunch of felons voted in that race.
They have verified 468 felons voted in that race, and the Franken won by 312. Now, of course, you know, that's suggesting that maybe all of those felons actually voted for Al Franken.
I heard a number today that says 90% of convicted felons vote Democrat.
I'm not going to touch that.
It was a study that was done that said if you're a felon, that 90% of the time you're going to vote Democrat. I'm, you know, okay, that's fine. That's a data point. I'm certainly willing to listen to somebody else say, oh, no, that's not true. They split evenly or whatever. But absent any other information, that's a number I'm going with.
Yeah, it's kind of like saying, you know, 90% of all the military vote Republican.
Yeah, right. Well, I don't know that that's true, but
that's the word.
That one could be, and two, it would certainly explain why Al Gore was certainly interested in keeping the military from voting in Florida in 2000.
Yeah. Okay, look.
Yeah.
In my opinion is that if you have been convicted of a felony and you have served your time and you're no longer on probation, then as far as I'm concerned, once you're done, there are two exceptions to this. When you're done, you get all your citizenship rights back.
Well, assuming you apply for them, sure.
And by apply for them, I mean, you know, send a letter with verification that you've completed your sentence.
As long as you are willing to extend that to other civil liberties like owning a gun, okay, yeah.
Nope.
In that case, no. I'm sorry. I ain't going there with you.
The two exceptions are. If you caused bodily harm or great bodily harm in the commission of a crime, no gun. You don't get.
Then why would you be able to vote?
Because there's a great deal more at stake, you know, in voting than in owning a gun.
Nah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bundle of rights. You can't parcel them out like that.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
You want me to show you how I can do it? And you're going to go, oh, well, that's different. No. You know, here, CJ has the full rights of every citizen of the United States except one.
I'm waiting.
She can never be president.
Okay.
Now, you and I both agree with that particular prohibition. I say I've never asked you, but I assume you did.
Well, yeah. I do.
So there is precedent constitutionally for a partition of rights to otherwise perfectly fine, wonderful human being citizens. So I don't have a particular problem with that.
No, that's not a partition of rights. That is simply simply a qualification of office. We have all kinds of qualifications for offices. If you're a congressman,
you have to
live in the district. For instance. But you're a senator from a state, you got to live in that state. I mean, that's...
Well, wait a second. But the point with qualifications are that with very few exceptions, and none that I can pick up right off the top of my head, you can change your actions or behavior in such a way as to meet those qualifications. If you don't live in the district, you can move into the district. If you're 33, you can wait 2 years and become 35. You know, you can do things that will be allow you to become qualified.
Okay.
So the qualifications are not, shall we say, I don't want to say this because it just goes into the wrong direction. You know, qualifications, are something that you can accomplish at some point or another. Okay, those are valid qualifications.
Some of them you can.
Okay, I'm stretching. I'm working, trying.
Yeah, I understand.
tell me a qualification that you can't change your behavior, your actions, or work at to accomplish those qualifications. Because I think any qualification you care to specify, you can, with an effort and a desire, accomplish those qualifications if you so desire. CJ cannot accomplish that qualification.
Right.
No matter what she does, she can't change the fact that she was born outside of this country.
So she can't be president.
Huh?
So she can't be president.
So she can't be president. So it's not a matter of
governor. She can be a state legislator. She can be a senator. She can be a congressman. She just can't be president.
She can vote.
Okay.
She can vote.
No.
No. And so, therefore, in my opinion, once you have, paid your penalty as a felon, you get your rights back.
And the only thing that I'm saying is, once you have paid your debt to society, you get your rights back, including the right to own a gun.
Only with that qualification that I've put in there.
If we're going to put qualifications on it, yeah, you get your right to vote back, depending on how you're going to vote.
Yeah.
As much sense.
That means that right now you could get your right to vote back if you wanted to be a Democrat, and 4 years from now you'd be able to get your right to vote back if you happen to be a Republican.
No, because that's a state issue, which means that depends on if you live in a red or a blue state.
Okay. No, I don't like that idea. That's my point, far as I'm concerned, if you have done something wrong, got your butt slung into jail, you've done your penalty, you've accomplished all the things that you're required to accomplish to pay the price of society, then I think you should be welcomed back into society, unless there's some particular reason not to. And as I suggested, there was two exceptions. The first one being, if you've gone after somebody, you don't get to have a gun. The other one is,
if you don't get to have a gun, then you ought not to be able to vote. I think that's pretty simple.
Yeah, no, I disagree.
Well, that's fine.
You know what? I think I have a reason why I differ on that.
Okay.
Okay. You and I, big proponents of the Second Amendment, believe that there is a right to bear arms.
Yes.
The government has to have an overriding reason to be able to infringe upon those rights.
Okay.
Voting is not a right.
No, it isn't.
It's a responsibility.
Okay.
So, by that token, if you're going to be a participant in society again, you need to take up all the responsibilities that go with citizenship, and that means voting too.
Okay.
There are some rights that you have abdicated by your actions forever and a day, and that would include gun ownership if you have, in fact, gone after somebody, caused them great bodily harm in the commission of a crime. That right is infringed indefinitely. You know, do I think it's possible that someone that did that could eventually get gun rights back? Yeah, I do. You know, show me a period of time where you can deal with society in an adult way, and I'd reconsider it.
Mm-hmm.
Not just that, you know, you've accomplished all this, you've paid your price, but I'm talking about, you know, you did 10 years time for, you know, armed robbery. You know, 10 years after you've done all your time and all your everything else is taken care of, 10 years later, you know, you've behaved, you've done well, you haven't gotten yourself in trouble. You know, you've dealt with society in an appropriate way. I'd reconsider it at that point.
Okay.
2 years later, and 1 year later, no.
Yeah.
10 years later, you know, you've shown some ability to deal with society, then I'd be more interested in doing so. It's along the general lines of, you know, prove that you're an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing as how most liberals can't do that at any point.
To begin with.
That just kind of just like, you know, can we have a society where only the conservatives own guns?
Nope.
I think, with the exception of criminals, that might be the case. No, that's not true. I know a couple of liberals that own guns.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, they're pretty staunch Second Amendment proponents, too, which I always yell at them and going, you know, exactly tell me why the Second Amendment is so important to you and the First isn't.
Yeah, right.
just clarify that for me, please. You know. Because let me tell you, that First Amendment, they don't care about at all.
No, they certainly don't.
You know, Mike, I'm glad that you own a gun, but, you know, if you think, ah, just shut up!
Yeah, right.
Mike, I think I just shut up! You like the Second Amendment. What's wrong with the First Amendment? Ah, just shut up! God, he doesn't like anything.
Oh, man.
So, like your gun. Get him talking about his gun. Boy, he loves his gun. He loves to do hunting. Thinks it's great, you know, swears to God the next person that he finds on his hunting property he's going to shoot, you know. He thinks private property is just, you know, the cat's meow, and by the way, anybody that earns more than he does should be paying all of it to the government.
Oh, I see. Okay. There you go, then.
You know, the cutoff point for him is about $10,000 over what he earns.
There you go.
Everyone else, pay it all. You know, if I can live on $35,000 a year, everyone else can live on $35,000 a year. God.
Oh, I love it.
He is a...
Yeah.
All right, so, that was... Gibbs was thrown under the bus this weekend.
Yes, he was. Pretty dramatically.
I'm telling you, I heard that rumor on Monday that they're looking for a good mechanic.
Yeah. They're going to need one.
They need some lifters on that bus. Boy, it's getting damn fucking crowded.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So Gibbies gets his head handed to him. Apparently, Eric Holder's gotten his head handed to him. You know. So, I will know that Barack Obama has absolutely lost it the day Joe Biden gets thrown under the bus.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
And right now, he's just running around behind it, so, you know, I think he's safe for the moment.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but if Biden gets tossed under the bus, you know, that's it. Boy, everybody likes my comment about the NAACP. I thought I was going to get a lot of crap for it. Nobody's giving me any crap for it.
Really? No. I thought it was pretty
right
on.
For those of you that don't know, the NAAC has called the Tea Party's racists.
Yes, they did.
A resolution. Tea Party's a racist. So my comment was, the NAACP calling Tea Parties racists is like Ted Bundy complaining about lack of freezer space.
You know? Yeah.
I got a question for you. You can answer this because I don't understand this.
Okay.
Okay. And you're avid on Twitter, so this is something that I can ask you.
Okay.
Okay. Can you imagine any particular reason in the world why a whole lot of very serious Christians would be trying to follow me?
Well, I suspect it would depend on a couple of factors, one of which would be how zealous they are in terms of proselytizing. I mean, I can imagine you having a civil conversation with a Christian that does not actively proselytize until or unless they get some indication that that kind of a conversation would be welcome.
Well, I don't have any problem with people trying to proselytize me.
Really?
At all.
Yeah, okay.
No, not at all.
Well,
matter of fact, Victoria, when the J-Dubs come to the door, she runs over there and closes the door and says, no.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. You know, because, you know, as she said, you know, it's really unfair to bring a howitzer to a, you know, a knife fight.
Yeah.
I
don't know why a Christian wouldn't follow you. I mean, you know, assume for a moment that they're conservative, that they aren't some whacked out liberal. Why shouldn't they follow you?
Well, I don't know, but, you know, I've gotten a whole lot of really serious religious people into it in the last couple of days. And I'm like,
yeah,
man, you're asking for it. You know, whatever. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
The reason I bring it up is because we had a really good God conversation over the weekend.
Who did?
CJ and I.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And over the last, you know, she did her confirmation, but she really didn't want to be in church school this year. Really, really wanted to not do it. And we really pushed the issue that she had to do it. You know, I think in the end that she was fairly happy about having done so, but she was really a big thing. And I really had to chastise her a couple times because she was really strongly anti-religious this year. And, you know, I can be pretty firm about certain things. But at the same time, allow other people to have their freedom to have their own point of view.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be very firm on my point of view about it, but at the same time, be polite enough to allow them to have their point of view on it.
Sure.
But she, you know, she's a teenager. You know,
there's
a lot of absoluteness there.
Lots of blacks and whites.
Yeah.
No
so,
pun intended there,
you know,
by the way.
I try to tone that down a whole lot, but it was kind of a spur of the moment type conversation, and she basically said that, you know, that her position is that she is a believer in God, and she doesn't think there's a whole lot of churches out there that she's going to be happy in, but that's okay for her.
Okay.
And I thought that was a rather, for a 15-year-old, a rather good point of view.
Okay.
No.
I mean, it's
so,
not one that
so
I would take exception
has,
to, so yeah, okay.
She has come through confirmation and 15 years of school, of church, with her belief system intact.
Okay.
Which is actually what I wanted to have happen. I didn't necessarily want her to be real stuck into dogma, but you know, I wanted her to have her faith, her belief system, because that'll serve her well.
Sure.
So, it didn't come out of anywhere. It just kind of came up. So, and then of course I got all these other people that just came out of the woodwork that want to be my, you know, friend, you know, that are there. Pammy, you're great. You're just fine. I think I think the majority of people that are Christian in my life, understand my point of view, and generally avoid getting into a whole lot of conversations with me, which is safe. I think it's pretty safe. Because I've often told people, I said, odds are, if you want to get into a contest of proselytization, I'm going to win. You're going to get converted to my point of view rather than me be converted to yours. Most people don't agree with me. Anyways, we're not getting very much conservative stuff done today.
No, we aren't. But, that's a part of it. I mean, I don't know very many religious lefties. Not saying that there aren't any. All I'm saying is I sure don't know them.
Oh, go to the Episcopal Church. God! Even the Lutherans. Ho-ho! There's lefties in there.
We don't have those denominations around here. So all I'm saying is, I'm not doubting that they don't exist. All I'm saying is I sure don't know any. I know Baptists and I know some Methodists and I know some community churchers and I know some Mennonites and. I know a bunch of them, but they all tend to be pretty conservative. What can I say? Not saying that the others aren't out there. All I'm saying is I don't know them.
Let's talk about for 30 seconds. Deep Horizon, they may have a cap on it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Saw a report today that says, oops, we're only catching about 46,000 gallons.
I'm just waiting for them to put that cap on there, lock it down, and they realize they got it all closed off and everybody goes cheering. And then about 4 hours later, that cap launches itself about 8,000 feet in the air. I'm not talking about 8,000 feet above the...
Above the ocean level,
Okay. 8,000 feet above the air,
The
ocean surface.
We'll see. I don't have a great deal of confidence that they're going to do much with it, but I'm willing to believe as long as... But the report that I saw said, only catching about 46,000 gallons. And I'm saying, let's see, that thing is spilling out 35 to 60,000 barrels a day, and you're catching 46,000 gallons. There's a big discrepancy in those numbers, folks. 42 gallons to the barrel, by the way.
Yeah, 42 gallons, so, they're suggesting they're getting 10% of it.
Not a whole lot, but I'm willing to be convinced. I'm from Missouri. Show me.
I am concerned by the simple fact of the matter that so little video coverage is being done down there.
That is a big problem, and I've done a little bit of digging on that. Apparently. And the number varies. Apparently, if you are a reporter, freelance videographer, anything of that nature, if you get within, and I've heard everything from 300 feet to 600 yards of the oil spill, you are subject to arrest and fines and imprisonment.
And of course, the press is just fine with that.
Apparently, I queried, I queried Jake Tapper about it, and he said, well, he thought somebody was going down there Thursday. That would have been maybe this coming up Thursday. And he said he's seen stories on it, but I'm saying, yeah, but they aren't like, I mean, I'm saying to myself, not to him, but to myself, I'm saying, yeah, but they're all from the shore stories. There was a guy that is apparently an environmental engineer, whatever in the world that is, who said he has been denied access to the ROV facility, which is what controls the cameras and remotely operated vehicles and all that kind of stuff. He has been denied access to that, regardless of his qualifications. There's a lot of human interest stories and that kind of thing. I don't see a whole lot of reporting on the actual spill itself, what's actually happening, unless you want to go to the .gov site, which apparently is the only source of information at this point, and frankly, I don't trust that as a news source.
Yeah, I think there are lots of bad things happening down there, and I don't think we're going to hear about them until well after the fact, and then people are just going to shrug their shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
Damage being well done at that point.
Well,
I don't know. The fact of the matter that there is so little screaming from the press, there is so little screaming from the environmentalists, just suggests to me that, I really don't understand it. I don't.
No, me either. Fox News has got some breaking news that says BP is going to delay the well cap tests as the feds call for more analysis on the plan. I mean, I don't know how much analysis you got to do, but okay.
Maybe they're afraid of exactly what I suggested.
Yeah, could be.
They're afraid of it blowing up in their face.
You know, that thought had crossed my mind. And all I know is this. First order of business is stop the oil from spilling out. So whatever they do to further that, I'm in favor of. And they say that they've got a cap on the thing now, and I'm saying, okay, that's maybe a step in the right direction. But then I get the report that says, nah, they're only getting about 10% of the oil, and that takes me back to, then what are you guys going to do to stop the oil from gushing out? It's as simple as that. Doesn't take a lot of analysis. It says, how do you stop the oil? And if almost my supposition is correct, that they don't have a good way to stop that, then those poor coastal Gulf Coast states are in a whole big, deep pile of worry.
I think they're already in a big pile of
duty. Oh, yeah.
It is.
Yep.
Absolutely. Summer's half over and they're screwed, and boom.
Attitude and all that kind of good stuff. Well, not only that, but apparently Michelle Obama at the NAACP meeting said, y'all ought to come down here to the Gulf Coast and vacation and spend your dollars and help these people out. There's lots of beaches that don't have any oil on them, et cetera, et cetera. And, I heard that and I said, how tone deaf are you? You're going on vacation in Maine. I mean, wouldn't it be nice to have a president and his wife and family go down to the Gulf Coast and vacation? I mean, did that ever cross their mind?
Well, my particular problem when she said that was tell me how that's different than George Bush saying go out and shop after 9/11.
Exactly. That was the other takeaway on it. And it's kind of like, you people just, I mean, you don't, one, you don't listen to yourself, and two, you're absolutely totally tone deaf. Period.
Yeah, but of course, you know, he did that. When he went down there, what, 3 weeks ago? He went down there to visit down there and then played a round of golf?
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe that's it. Maybe their golf courses aren't up to par down there in the Gulf Coast. Yes, that's catty, but oh well.
I'm trying to think about, you know, I didn't manage to do any golfing down there when I was stationed in Biloxi.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Biloxi! Yep. Biloxi, Mississippi. We can spend a lot of time talking about it, but the fact of the matter is that, you know, lots of damage has been done. It was an accident.
Yes.
Was there negligence? Duh.
Yeah.
Was it solely BP's fault? No.
No.
Was it, was the government free and clear of being, you know, doing this? No.
No.
Was this a fault of deregulation? No.
No.
Is this Obama's fault? No.
No.
Does he own the after events?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. And please continue to own it at this level. And Michelle, thank you very much for your contribution,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yep.
to the ownership, you know, society that we have going on here.
Mm-hmm.
I would suggest to you that by the time Barack Obama is done as president, his name is going to go down in the history books.
Oh, yeah, I don't think in a good way, but yeah, you're right.
You know, his name is going to come to represent certain things. Examples, you know, to Xerox something, some Kleenex something.
Yep.
Obama something.
Yep.
You know, it's going to be to Obama something.
Oh, man.
And yes, it's intended to rhyme with embalm something.
Mm-hmm.
If it's already dead, let's see how much more damage we can do to it.
Exactly. I know.
Yeah,
it's terrible.
Are you a
Gordon Lightfoot fan? Like
his music? I have several albums of Gordon Lightfoot. I, of course, was in college. And, of course, I'm a big, huge Great Lakes fan. So, for those of you that don't know, Lake Superior is the only inland body in the world that can have a hurricane.
Well, you know, it's funny that you should mention that, because his song, The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, kind of chronicles that. And there's a line in that song that keeps running through my head. And that line is, when the winds of November come early.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm hoping that, and it's beginning to play out that way. The Democrats are beginning, you know, that's what got Gibbsy in problems, was the fact that he stated what everyone else is beginning to see.
Yep.
That
he walked
Democrats
that back today,
done,
by the way.
Huh?
He walked that back today.
Oh, well, duh.
Yeah.
When
right.
you get thrown under the bus, you got to grab something.
Exactly. Even if it is that whirling around drive shaft.
Or the muffler.
Oh, or, you know, something. You know, anything. Well, you know, there's a lot of rumors running around that he's not long for that job.
Frankly, I don't think that, you know, I think there's a whole lot of jobs in the White House that 2 years is probably about the best you can do.
Yep. Yep, yep.
You know, Obama gets to go to bed every night. No
yeah.
one else does.
Yep, exactly. He's got people working 24/7 for him. Well, for
right,
the country,
and most
really,
of them are the same people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I. When was the last time you slept? November.
Yeah, yeah,
2007.
Exactly. Yeah.
2007. Mm-hmm. I for no other particular reason, I believe that, a vast number of the people that work in administration, I don't care who the administration is, and for the most part, I don't care what happened in the administration, they simply just can't. They simply can't survive.
Yeah.
Press secretary is one of those positions where, you just simply get eaten alive. I don't care who it is.
Well, and any time that you are on the defensive like he is, then, that takes a toll on you a lot.
Yeah, and this is kind of personal, but it applies in the following way. My dad is winding down. Some of you may be aware of that.
Yep.
My mom suggests that he doesn't generally have two good days in a row anymore.
Ooh.
He'll have a good day, and then pretty much the next day is not a good day, and then the next day might be kind of a, middle and bad day, and then kind of a so-so day, and then might have another good day, and,
mm-hmm.
such as the life after, 77 years, of which the last 40 you've been fighting to stay alive.
Exactly.
There's only so much the body can take before it just starts wearing itself out. Mentally, it starts wearing out. And, it's something that I've noticed in people that suffer from chronic illnesses. Obviously Victoria is one. Mentally, the body continues to function, not necessarily greatly, but what happens is the mental part that starts to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And I said it with my brother. Nobody dies unless they give death permission.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to give death permission to take you. Otherwise, it just doesn't happen.
Yep.
So,
seen that happen.
There are exceptions to that, obviously. Accidents
sure.
and severe things, but
yeah.
For chronic stuff like that, people give up. And I don't say that that's a bad thing or a lazy thing or, that they can't. I mean, there's just so many months and, days, months and years that you can tolerate that kind of pain and, unpleasantness within your own body.
Exactly.
That's just mentally going to be destroying there. And there's a lot to be said about the fact that, we have all said it. We have all seen it. Not a man steps into that presidency that doesn't come out of it looking a whole lot older.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that is a killer job.
And while I certainly think that Barack Obama has done, a horrific job as president, I will say this, it is simply the most difficult job on the planet.
Yes, it is.
I don't
absolutely.
Care that you have 2 million people working for you. I don't care that you have 60 personal servants, providing to your every whim.
Yep.
Okay? The simple fact of the matter is that there's no off switch.
Nope. And in fact, you have to have those personal servants. I mean, you cannot get bogged down in that minutia as the leader of the free world. You can't do it.
Yeah.
And not do the job.
Right. It's just... and we're not cutting Barack Obama a whole lot of slack, and the fact is, you have to have it. But it's a recognition that the position is just, absolutely there. And the positions that support him, are in many regards no different in that sense.
That's right.
They're always on. They're always having to be ready and able to deal with things. As much as I like to be in the know,
mm-hmm.
the last place on the planet that I'd like to be in is in the White House.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're going to know everything, but then the imponderables become even more so because you have to make a decision. Most of us don't have to do that. most of us can go through our life and we can have imperfect information, and things will still work out. Presidents can't do that. And it doesn't matter what party they belong to.
Right. You know, and this is probably the one place that I thought that Barack Obama was probably the most naive about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I honestly believe, I still do, I honestly believe that he thought that he bought into the idea that Bush was all powerful, the president was all powerful and could do, you know, damn near anything he wanted, and the fact that things weren't getting done the way he thought that they should be, well, was a failure of the presidency. And that once he got in, he would be able to use that power to do all the things that he thought should have been done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the last year has been an incredibly rude awakening to him that that's not always possible. Now, I think as a liberal, he still doesn't get it. He still just thinks that it's that he's just not doing it right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, and that if he keeps working it and getting the right people and doing it right, that he's going to get it, that there's something that he's missing, and, you know, it's just not the right person in the right place, or somebody not, you know, executing right, or he's being stopped because of all these other things that are being distracting him, you know, and he just doesn't get that that's, in fact, you know, that's part of the job.
Well, yeah. I guess what it comes down to is this. If you are the ultimate decision maker, and there are a lot of decisions that get made below your pay grade, okay? I mean, bunches of them, tons of them. But they don't get kicked up to you in the normal course of events. They don't get kicked up to you unless they are particularly intractable. When the decision is hard, and you're the one who has to make the call.
And of course, our problem is that when that comes up, you know, Barack Obama's favorite pastime is to
punt. Yep. Hello.
Somewhere else on the line.
Uh oh.
I gotta say, he's got. I would love to find out what kind of golfer he is, and I'm surprised that nobody. You know
they don't give his scores, do they?
They don't say anything about how he plays.
No. Sure don't.
They don't make any suggestions about it one way or the other. And let me tell you, I can give you a pretty good idea, based on my knowledge of Chicago politics, what kind of golfer he is.
Oh, really? And that would be?
Really fucking bad.
Okay.
Really, really fucking bad.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Democrats don't play golf in Chicago.
They don't?
No, only Republicans play golf in Chicago.
Okay.
Democrats don't play golf.
What do they do?
Baseball?
Mm. Okay.
You know, maybe a little basketball? But no, they don't play golf.
I'll be darned.
You know, if you know, it's not unusual for you to hear about, you know, Republican legislators and stuff like that, and governors and stuff like that playing golf.
Yeah.
But you'll almost never, ever in Illinois and Chicago hear a Democrat being on a golf course.
I'll
or
be darned.
A golf fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
You know, so I would suggest to you that. His golf game is atrocious. Atrocious. So,
well, that may be why they don't advertise the scores.
Yeah. Triple digits would not be surprising to me.
There you go.
Okay, you got 30 seconds, dude.
Okay. Just me, Pammy, Louisa Ma, Bus Zero, Hippie Chick, Mama Gurkha, if you're all out there, thanks for listening in. We certainly appreciate it.
And for everyone else, I will see you in a couple, talk to you in a couple weeks from new home in San Diego.
Yay!
Bill, I'll talk to you
yep.
really soon.
Yes, yes.
Really soon. Like right about now.
Cool. Okay, we're in the green room now. Actually, you know, that kind of surprises me that Dems don't play golf in Chicago.
Yeah, don't. Doesn't happen.
Huh. I mean, that's just really surprising to me. Don't know why they, I mean, perfect place, you're outside, pretty hard to eavesdrop. You get a chance to confer and confab with your minions. I don't know. This seems kind of strange.
Too elitist.
Ah. Well, then one wonders how Obama ever took it up. Although I guess I'm trying to think of a president that hasn't golfed. I think you got to get all the way back to Truman, maybe.
Did Carter play?
You know, I don't know. He went canoeing, I know that. Don't know if he played golf, though.
Yep. Well, Clinton played golf.
Clinton did. Nixon
Bush
did.
Bush played golf.
Bush did.
Reagan played golf, but not very much.
Right.
You know.
Nixon did. Eisenhower did. Ford did.
Yeah. Ford did.
We don't know about Carter. Maybe, maybe not.
Okay.
And I don't know about Truman. Just period, don't know.
Roosevelt, of course, did not.
No, he did not.
Yeah. Unless he played miniature golf.
Well, maybe.
No. It's just a different environment in Chicago. In any case, you're right. They are so tone deaf. It is beside.
Oh yeah, yep. I don't know. Bus Zero reminded me that Georgia has the Masters. That's got to be a pretty good course. Augusta National.
Augusta National. You don't play, right?
I do not.
For a great number of years, the Western Open, which was held in the Chicago area, was held at Butler National Golf Country Club. Butler National is private.
Mm-hmm.
It did not allow blacks until, like, the 60s. But even at that point, you know, there are a fairly small number of minorities in there. But women were not allowed in the clubhouse, ever.
Huh.
Even when they had the open,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They were not allowed in the clubhouse.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Absolute. Minorities were not the issue at Butler. It was always women were not allowed in there. And what was really rather interesting, I wasn't the first. I was about the eighth or ninth girl that caddied at Butler. And I caddied there for a summer because my boyfriend was a caddy there, and he got me a job caddying.
Hmm.
And we caddied. Almost never caddied at the same time, in the same foursome.
Sure.
But I think we did twice. Twice? Maybe twice. Anyways, so I was kind of unusual. There was only two of us the summer that I was there that caddied. Golf bags, especially for people that are not used to carrying golf bags.
Mm-hmm.
Man, those son of a bitches can weigh a lot.
Yeah.
You know. And
man.
You gotta haul butt, you know, you gotta move pretty quick, you know, for stuff. So it's a fairly physically demanding job, but I really enjoyed it. I did a lot. My boyfriend caddied at the Western Open. I four-caddied, which won't make any sense to you, but
no, it doesn't.
That means you don't carry a bag.
Ah.
Somebody. And if you've ever watched a tournament, you know, you see them drive off the ball, and then somebody runs over there and plants a little flag nearby.
Oh, yeah.
Those are called four caddies.
Ah, okay.
Okay, so I four caddied on a hole. That was fine. He caddied for Bruce Litsky that year. I know it's not a name you'll know, but, you know, he did all right. But the Butler National, no women were allowed in the clubhouse. I was allowed in the caddy shack, which was actually part of the clubhouse, but as long as I stayed down in the caddy shack, I was okay. The interesting thing about it was that on Mondays, the golf course is closed to members,
mm-hmm.
because that's the day they cut the grass and, you know, do all the work on the golf course. Caddies can play on Monday.
Ah, okay.
You get to play the course. So I've played Butler National.
Oh.
Which is a PGA tournament quality course. And done pretty well on that course, by the way.
Hey, best, there you go.
My best round is an 84, which, generally speaking, was better than a lot of the professionals that missed the cut on Western Open things. Lots of people did worse than that. Really, really great course. Yeah, like Augusta, you're playing on some of the best surfaces, on planet for the golf. Just really, 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 really great golf.
Wow.
I really liked that summer. I played out there about 5 times. Really enjoyed it a lot. Enjoyed that summer. Got very well into shape. Began the process that allowed me to do significant amounts of roller skating and biking once I got in the military shortly thereafter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The reason it was all interesting about it was I didn't break any barriers there.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't the first. But I was odd. And it's probably not something that you would be aware of, but I made some really outstanding tips.
Whoa.
Because the standard fee for a caddy was $250 a side. And I'm not talking about $250. I'm talking about $2.50.
Oh, my gosh.
And by a side, that's 9 holes. That's $5 for a round of golf.
Wow.
That's what the fee was. That's what you earned for carrying those 45-pound bags running over 9,000 yards.
Mm.
Okay. Unless you were lucky and they were taking a golf cart, and then you didn't have to carry the bag.
Sure.
Which you might say, well, what were good were you? Well, then you were playing four caddy, and that means you held the flag and stuff like that, which meant they were on a cart, and you had to beat them to their ball. you're the last one off the green when everybody is done. You have to be, past them and down the fairway, before they're ready to hit.
Mm-hmm.
It was always a toss-up between, do you want to carry the 40-pound bag or do you want to run 9,000 yards?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I mean run. This isn't a little jog. That's run 9,000 yards.
Yep.
Yes, but the fee was $2.50 a side.
Huh.
On average, you made $40 in tips.
Ah, okay. Yep.
That was pretty much normal. $40. you know, there were a couple of cheapskates that only gave 20. But I had a half a dozen tips that were over 100.
Huh.
You could have a really good day out there.
Wow.
You know, generally speaking, you know, I caddied about four times twice in a day.
Uh-huh.
And averaged more than $100.
Wow.
On those days, easy. A lot of work. I mean, it was fun.
Well, sure.
Stuff like that. But, you know, it was bust your ass work. You know, that's not something Democrats do.
Got it. Sure. Well,
it's not.
Okay, anyway, fine.
So much for golf.
So much for golf.
Butler National, wonderful place. Augusta National, I'd love to play there. I'd kill to play there.
Yeah.
I'd kill
you know, golfers would. If you're a golfer, that's kind of a dream thing.
You know, there's a lot of places. I'm going to be living less than 20 minutes away from one of the premier golf courses in the country, Torrey Pines.
Ooh.
Where they have, you know, about every other year they have a major tournament. Well, every year they have a major tournament there.
Mm-hmm.
A Tiger Woods major tournament there. And they occasionally have one of the big ones there also. So, you know, if I'm willing to put up the $400 to play, you know, it's an open to the public course. You know.
Wow.
$400. 18
wow.
holes of golf.
$400. Ouch.
Hot dog not included.
Yeah, right. Jeez.
Hot dog not included.
Yes, indeed. Okay.
Will I do it? Yeah, I will.
Yeah. Cool.
At some point in time, sometime over the next 3 years, I will figure out where to come up with the money, and I will simply do it.
Do it. Yep. Cool.
Yep. I will go play it.
Yep.
Knowing that I have played Butler National, I'd be willing to play Torrey Pines.
Cool. I understand that's a really breezy, windy kind of a course.
It can be. You know, but here's the thing. We're going to get green room and golf today.
Green room and golf. There you go.
The courses like that require a different mindset when you go to play golf. A regular golf course that, you know, everybody plays, what you want to do is you want to get up and down. You know, get the ball out there as far as possible, get the ball into play, get on the green, score.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you can manhandle a course. You can beat your way around a course. A course like Butler National or Torrey Pines can't do
mm-hmm.
it. A course would just eat you up. It's not designed to be that way. You can't force the course. You know, so course management is everything. When Butler National lost the Western Open, when they asked the Western Open no longer to come back,
mm-hmm.
they're getting too much grief, and the membership was getting to hate the idea that they couldn't play for 2 months.
Oh, got it. Okay, got it. Yep.
You know, so they could play, but you know the course was being groomed and readied for the tournament. They didn't
sure.
like it. You know, and these are people that pay a lot of money to be members.
Yeah.
The tournament was moved to a course about just about 15 miles farther south called Cog Hill. And Cog Hill is it's a public country club with four golf courses.
Oh, really?
One and three are on one side of the course, and two and four are on the other side of the course. And one and three are pretty standard Chicago golf courses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, good courses, solid. You know,
yeah.
What we like to call working class. You know, golf courses,
sure.
solid things.
Right.
Two and four are entirely different things. And number four was called Dubs Dread. dub being, you know, when you hit the club and you swing at the ball and you take out a big chunk of dirt and the big chunk of dirt hits the ball and moves it.
Okay.
So Dub's Dread was it was something that you just simply it just ate at you because it was in a serious course. Number two, really, really tough course because it's in the same general style as Dub's Dread. Dub's Dread is the course that is now the Western Open course. And number two is an incredibly hard course to play. And, you know, I probably played Dub's, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 times.
Mm-hmm.
Played number two course probably at least twice that number of times. And I've probably played 1 and 3 probably 20 or 30 times each.
Okay.
Dub's was, you know, you could play course 1 and 3 for $20. Number two would cost you 40, and Dub's would cost you 80. So,
got it.
It was a step up cost wise. But, Cog Hill is a pretty interesting place, too. And, it is in a very working class community, Lamont, Illinois.
Really?
It's all kind
of. And it's a public course?
It is a public course. You can play Dub's. I think Dub's now is about 140 or 160.
Wow.
If you want to play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's more expensive. But, yeah, you can play 1, 2, 3, or 4 pretty much any time you want.
Hmm.
1 and 3 are open during the tournament.
Oh, really?
You can play 1 and 3 when you're there. 2 is not open when the tournament's going on.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But 1 and 3 is. So.
I'll be darned.
You know, yeah, nice place, nice course. I've played, you know, tournament quality courses.
Cool.
And course management is the order of the day.
Hmm.
You have to treat the course as something to be managed. You can't just go up there and hit a ball. You know, Barack Obama on a tournament quality course would be qualified as a hacker.
He's better at basketball than golf, huh?
You know, I've never seen him play.
Yeah.
Anything, but I can pretty much tell you, you know, his mentality suggests that he would suck at it.
Okay.
Yep. Anyways.
Hmm.
I'm done for tonight.
Okay, kiddo. Get yourself some rest and all that kind of stuff and be packing up.
Yeah.
William? Yeah. And
have
I
fun.
I will. I will prepare some material and get it put together and we'll see if I can carry it off.
Yeah.
See
if you want to pull somebody in.
I'll think about that. That might not be a bad idea.
I actually went down.
I don't know. That might be too weird. Well, not weird so much as you got to make sure that you have somebody that you're comfortable just having a conversation with. And that's
true.
You know, I will give that some thought. See what I can see if there's anybody that I think fits that bill, and then we'll enter into a conversation. See what goes on. And anyway, be safe on your trip, kiddo. No.
All right.
No big chances.
I will check in.
All righty. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Good night, everyone.